So let's read today's text from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 28 through 34. When he arrived at the other side in the region of Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Many people today do not believe that there are demons. They don't believe in the existence of the evil ones. People think that many phenomena that were attributed to the devil in the past can now be explained by modern science. So demons are placed in the realm of our fantasy, you know, like fairies, imps, goblins, and fire-breathing dragons. But the Bible tells us that there are evil spirits who oppose God and Jesus. And if that's one at the one end of the spectrum, at the other end of the spectrum, there are some people who attribute everything to demons. Everything bad that happens to us is caused by demons. Every disease is caused by demons. So rather than seeing a doctor when someone is sick, they would perform exorcism on that person. And those who believe this are usually part of a cult. And we do not rule out the possibility that some disease may be caused by the devil, but much of the sickness occurs just because we live in a world full of harmful germs. And sometimes we get sick because we do not take good care of our bodies. We don't eat right or do not exercise and do not get enough sleep. So, we cannot blame the devil for all diseases. And a few find it easier to believe in the devil than in God. William Peter Blatty, who wrote and produced the movie Exorcist, said, "As far as God is concerned, I am a non-believer, but when it comes to the devil, well, that's something else. The devil keeps advertising. The devil does a lot of commercials." William Blatty is wrong about God, but he is right about the devil. The devil does lots of commercials. We just have to turn on the news to see the evidences of the evil one in our world. On Easter, some Muslim extremist suicide bombers attacked a few churches in Sri Lanka and killed more than 250 people. The mastermind behind these attacks was a radical Muslim priest or a preacher named Zaharan Hashim. In one of his online sermons, he said that there are three types of people. First, Muslims. Second, those who have reached an agreement or accord with Muslims. And third, all the rest, the idolaters who should be killed. And Zaharan himself was one of those suicide bombers who died in the attack. We just have to look at all the genocides in former Yugoslavia, in Rwanda, Armenian massacres by the Turks, the Nazi Holocaust, or the large-scale human trafficking, the abuse of children, gun violence, occult activities. As Jesus said, the evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we don't need to be overly concerned with the devil. Our focus should not be on the evil one, but on Christ. And that is where Matthew's focus is on today's text. After the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus heals a leper, and he heals a centurion servant, and then Peter's mother. And he goes with the disciples. He travels. He crosses the Galilee with the disciples to the other side of the lake. And on the way, they meet a fierce storm, and the disciples think that they will die, but Jesus commands the wind and the waves, and the storm dies down. The sea becomes calm. And in awe, the disciples ask, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And they get to the eastern shore of Galilee and the region of Gadarenes, and that's the area of Decapolis, or 10 cities. And this is a predominantly a Gentile area, regarded by Jews as a thorn in their side. And that is why they were tending pigs, animals whom Jews considered unclean. And when they arrived, they were met by two demons coming from the tombs. And there must have been some rock formations, because in those days, tombs were usually caves in a hill or a mound. And this is a remarkable encounter. There are two men approaching Jesus, but behind these two men are thousands of demons, a legion of demons. And in fact, in the Gospel of Mark, they say that their name is Legion. And it's just, the disciples are powerless against these demons. So it's actually just one person, Jesus, against thousands of demons. It's like a martial arts movie where one hero, is facing hundreds of bad fighters. And this encounter becomes another opportunity for people to see the authority of Jesus. And for today's message, I just have two very simple points. My first is that the presence of Jesus is disturbing. The two demon-possessed men, they shout, "What do you want with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" The demons are disturbed. They know that Jesus is Lord and the judge, and they know that at God's appointed time, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Seeing Jesus here and now in this place cannot be a good thing. His arrival signals the end of the beginning of their end. So demons were saying, "Well, it's not time yet, so why are you here? We don't want to do anything with you, O Son of God." So the question the disciples have asked during the storm, "Who is this?" have been answered by these demons, the Son of God. The demons recognize who Jesus is, while people do not recognize who Jesus is. But this is not just the demons talking, it is also the two human beings, two men who are talking as well. These two men are also disturbed. There's something in all of us that cries out to God, "Why are you here? Why don't you leave me alone?" We are disturbed because Christ's presence makes us fully aware of what we are bound to, our misery, our bondage. And we are in bondage of sin and death. Jesus says in John 8, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." We are in bondage of death because the Bible says that the wage of sin, or the result of sin, is death. And it's not just the demons and the two men that are disturbed, but also the people of Gadarene. They are disturbed. When we do a Bible study on this text, there's always somebody who gets hung up on the pigs. The person says, "Oh, poor pigs. Why did Jesus allow, you know, those poor pigs to die? And the small group spends too much time discussing about the death of these pigs. Why did Jesus allow these demons to enter into pigs? Perhaps it was to demonstrate the destructive power of the evil one. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Mark says that about 2,000 pigs drowned in the lake, and at the herdsman's report, the whole town came out to see their pigs. And upon assessing the damage, they were disturbed. The pigs were an important source of their income. They probably sold them to the Roman soldiers, to other Gentiles, or even to the pagan temples for their pagan rituals. These people saw the dead swine, but they did not really see human beings who have been freed, who have been restored. They valued pigs more than human beings. They did not invite Jesus to stay with them and heal other people who are sick among them. They begged him to leave. And Jesus did not hate the people of Gadara. Jesus disturbed them with love. He sought to heal them, for they too needed to be liberated from their own demons. But the tragedy was that they chose pigs over Jesus. Christ's presence can be disturbing because he calls into question our values. We may wish that Christ would leave us alone, but the disturbing presence is also his loving presence that can lead us to freedom and life. And that brings us to the second point. The second point is that Christ's presence is liberating. It liberates us. Christ frees us from the bondage of sin and death by destroying the devil's power and his works. There is this remarkable passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, "He too shared in their humanity so that by his death," that's Jesus, "he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." And 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." In ancient society, the exorcists were not uncommon. Many claimed to have the power to cast out demons, and many practiced exorcism with certain magical formulas, certain rituals, and calling of higher powers. And for all exorcists, it was a long process. It took days or even weeks to perform their exorcisms. But the unusual thing about the exorcism of Jesus is the lack of any magical formula, lack of rituals, and there is no long struggle. A simple command is enough. The demons obey immediately. The demons even ask for a permission to enter into pigs. And we see that Jesus is in full control, and his power is absolute. In our story, we see two purposes of the devil's works and the two purposes of Jesus' works. One of devil's purpose is to mar the image of God in human beings. The image of God in these two men were distorted when they were possessed. And the other purpose is to kill and destroy. And we see that in the destruction of the pigs. But in Jesus' liberation, we see the total opposite purposes. In his liberation, Jesus restores God's image in human beings. In Mark's gospel, he describes how the demon-possessed people were before and after. Before his liberation, he went around a tomb naked, and he would cry out day and night, and he would cut himself and bleed himself with stones. But after his liberation, it says that he was dressed and he was in his right mind. And he even wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus told him to go back to his hometown and tell his people about what Jesus had done. And that's what he does. And Jesus' liberation enabled this man to be the person that God created him to be. Jesus said that he came to give full life to us. An early church father named Irenaeus said that the glory of God is a man fully alive. And that is what Jesus wants. Jesus wants people to flourish. He came to give us life and to liberate us from sin, death, and Satan so that we can have life to the full. All the exorcisms that Jesus performed point to his victory in the resurrection. Jesus broke the power of death because he broke the power of Satan in his resurrection. And though Satan had been dealt a fatal blow, Satan is still powerful. He's much more powerful than we are. And we cannot take our stand against him unless we are equipped with the armor of God and engaged in prayer, tapping into the authority of Jesus Christ. And since we are united with Christ, we share in his victory. So we don't need to fear the evil one. There's only one person to be feared, and that is Jesus. Matthew 10, Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell." Some commentators say that the people of Gadara asked Jesus to leave because they lost their property. And they were afraid that they may lose more property if Jesus stayed with them. But I don't think that their principal motive was economical. I think they were just very afraid of Jesus, seeing his awesome authority. They were just like the disciples who were afraid when they saw Jesus calming the storm. During the storm, they were afraid of the storm, but after seeing Jesus' power, they were afraid of Jesus. Before, the people were afraid of these demon-possessed men, but now they are afraid of Jesus, who had even more power than these demons. The people of Gadara saw the authority of Jesus and feared, but they did not see the love of Jesus. And I think we're the opposite. We see much of Jesus' love, but we don't see enough of his authority and power. Jerry Bridges says that godly Christians sees God first in his transcendence, glory, majesty, and holiness before he sees God in love, mercy, and grace. And here's a quote from Bridges. "In our day, we must recover a sense of awe and profound reverence for God. There is an infinite gap in worth and dignity between God and his creatures. The fear of God is a recognition of that gap, not a put down of men, but the exaltation of God." And it is fear of God that will enable us to shun evil and sin in our life. And so, for our prayer time, I would like to do this. The good news is that Jesus is the liberator. Is there one area in your life where you feel that you are bound? Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's recurring fits of rage, anorexia, depression, alcohol addiction, or even domestic abuse. We need to call on Jesus to free us from things that bind us and things that would lead us to destruction. And we need to have confidence in His authority. We also need to let somebody else know of our struggle. The longer we keep it to ourselves, the longer we keep it hidden, the more damage will be done to us. We need another brother or a sister to walk with us and to pray with us. So, you know, you can talk to me, or you can talk to your small group leaders. And after service, you know, if you have people praying, and you can even share your prayer topics with people who pray after the service. And we have to be willing to receive professional help. There are professional counselors who can help us to be free from things that bind us. But it all starts with prayer. So let's pray that God would set us free from things that bind us and the things that may lead us into destruction. Let's spend some time in prayer. We need other brothers and sisters. We may need professional help, but most of all, we need your presence. But we need your authority. We need the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord God, help us to name an area in our life where we feel we are bound by something that may be destructive, that may be harmful to us. Lord, help us to rely on you and pray to you. Help us to pray with another brother or sister. And Lord, help us to experience victory over the sin, over an area of bondage. And Lord, we want to have experienced the freedom that is in Christ. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.